1260 AM Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Victor Okendo. Civilians in North Gaza will start getting safe passage to move to South Gaza. The White House announced Israel has agreed to allow four-hour daily humanitarian pauses and talks to free hostages continue.
National Security spokesman John Kirby told reporters Thursday the pause will allow for more humanitarian aid into localized areas in Gaza and could provide enough of a window of time to help civilians get to safety. As for the hostages held by Hamas,
it could also provide brief windows of opportunity for safe passage for those hostages from where they're being held to safer ground.
Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
President Biden in Illinois to highlight union job creation under his administration. He'll meet with the UAW's leader and workers at a plant reopening in Belvedere following the strike. Hollywood Productions ramping up again, too. The SAG-AFTRA Actors Union says it's reached a historic deal with studios and producers. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A number of proposed changes to Wisconsin election laws are before the Wisconsin Assembly today. Constitutional amendments up for a vote include a photo ID requirement and a ban on private money for elections. Those would go to a statewide referendum next year. The Assembly is also taking up a number of bills, which include a bipartisan measure to let local election officials start processing absentee ballots the day before Election Day. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss sounds unmoved by pleas for a new engineering building at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
The programs at Platteville and Green Bay, also excellent engineering programs, aren't full, nor is the one at UW-Milwaukee.
Republicans are holding up funding for the building in exchange for dropping diversity programs. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Police Department is sounding the alarm regarding opioid overdoses, calling the city the epicenter of a potential opioid epidemic. According to a Northern News Now report, law enforcement officials are reporting that they've already responded to more fatal overdoses this year than they did in 2022. In addition to calling for community-based solutions like education and prevention efforts, police are reminding residents that state law provides limited immunity for overdose 911 calls. A proposed bill would require Wisconsin employers to provide health insurance coverage for employees with fertility problems. The bill was introduced by State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Jody Emerson as a way to break down the financial barriers that could stop potential parents from seeking fertility treatments. The lawmakers also said they believe it will help Wisconsin's economy, as families that need to seek fertility treatments to have a child won't move to other states to do it. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Bucks get the win, but Giannis ejected. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Detroit Pistons 120-118. In the third quarter, Giannis brought the ball down, made a signature dunk and celebration. He gets called for a technical, his second of the game, and was ejected. The Bucks' Brooke Lopez asked what was going on.
You know, we felt there were a lot of questionable calls, but you got to fight through that. And the way Giannis got kicked out, we obviously don't think that was great. But whatever, we turned it into a positive. Sucked not to have him out there, but it was a great opportunity for us to play pretty much solely with Dame, get him more used to us, get more used to him and a lot of other guys.
Football, a lot of teams in the NFL now doing the tush push, lining up players to push a teammate across fourth and short for a quarterback sneak. Green Bay tried it over the weekend against the Rams and was asked, was it called the Packers push? Right guard John Runyon.
I've also heard the love shove too.
That's the Packers right guard, John Runyon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. 46 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. West winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. 29 tonight, chance for scattered showers. Cloudy tomorrow, 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 46.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of places I could start, but I'm going to start right now with the so-called debate, the so-called Republican primary debate last night. I watched it. It was a sad thing. These are sad people. And nobody laid a glove on Trump, and that nothing occurred last night that, to my way of thinking, changes the lineup. I'm going to give you the lowlights. There are five of them there. Let's start with Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley and Chris Christie were the only two that made any sense at all on issues. I wouldn't vote for either one of them, but on foreign policy, both Nikki Haley and Chris Christie were very strong supporters of Ukraine, of aid to Ukraine, standing up to the genocidal, sadistic Russians. But Nikki Haley was baited throughout this debate by a weird guy, Vivek Ramaswamy. I have no idea why that character is on the stage. He has no accomplishment. He's never been involved in public office or politics. He's kind of a spidery looking little thing. Nasty, nasty, nasty thing. He spent the entire evening attacking the United States, America, our civilization, the Republican Party, and the Democratic Party. His foreign policy and much of what he said is right out of Narendra Modi's Hindu fundamentalist party. What's he doing here? The Bombay brawler. Why doesn't he go back over there and run for president of India? He obviously realizes he can't attack Trump, so he wants to attack the people who are tied for second, which is Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, and bait them and continue to insult them and somehow get publicity that way. So let's take Nikki Haley. He said that Nikki Haley is essentially a Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels. You know, he made a kind of a slur about her gender dress. He comes from a tradition that is very, very, very discriminatory towards women. And he thought that was funny. Nikki Haley came back and, you know, I'm not sure she had to come back this way and say, well, actually, I wear 5-inch heels and they're ammunition. Sort of a crazy thing to say. Then he attacked her daughter. Didn't name her daughter. Said that her daughter was on TikTok, and Nikki Haley should go after her daughter. Haley got very, very angry at that, said, don't let my daughter's name escape your voice, something like that. And then she said he was scum right on the stage. I mean, we're not talking Lincoln Douglas here. We're not talking Kennedy Nixon here. We're not talking Ronald Reagan, Walter Mondale here. This spidery guy, this Vivek Ramaswamy, looks like he has eight arms and legs. He's always waving them around. And he does nothing but insult. Nothing but insult. Not sure why he's permitted on the stage. Not sure why any of them are permitted on the stage. But that was probably the most remarkable thing that he said about anybody and that Nikki Haley said about anybody back. Vivek Ramaswamy called Zelensky, Volodymyr Zelensky, one of the great world leaders right now, standing up to the Russians, standing up to their sadism, their genocidal attack, and he said that Zelensky is a Nazi. It's false, known by him to be false. He always has this urge, apparently, where he takes the position he's opposed to aid to Ukraine, is not only is that the position, but then whoever would have been the recipient of the aid is a bad person and a Nazi and so forth. DeSantis, I cannot figure this guy out. He had the ability to be an alternative to Trump. He really did. Governor of Florida, he's conservative on a lot of things. But he has a rancid personality, and he's absolutely politically tone deaf. So he basically abandons Ukraine. Abandons Ukraine in this debate, saying that they don't need us, and with a very nasty demeanor, too. Let's put our money at our southern border, and essentially caving in to Russia. Now, why he's caving into Russia is he's trying to suck up to Trump and some of the Trump base. He's obviously hoping that Trump has something happen to him in the next 6 months, whether it's a successful indictment and a jail term or something else. But all he had to do was occasionally smile, not insult and attack everybody, and say he stands four square for Israel and Ukraine. That's all he had to do. Donors would flock to him. Now they've abandoned him. And Nikki Haley is going up time with him. And Nikki Haley is strong on Ukraine. Chris Christie is strong on Ukraine. But Chris Christie is anathema to the Trump base. Haley, I do not think, when push comes to shove, consider the Trump base. The Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, the Proud Boys, the Ku Klux Klan, Scalise, the number two guy in the House, gave a speech to a white supremacist group in Louisiana and said he was David Duke, who is a Nazi and a Klansman, without the baggage. Scalise said that. What, I'm a Nazi and a Klansman without the baggage? That's what, a good thing? You think that's going to get you what? Some support? It's a sick party. It's fallen apart. The other guy who was on the stage was Tim Scott. Very affable guy. You know, if Tim Scott were my neighbor, I'd enjoy having him as my neighbor, enjoy having a beer with him in the backyard or something. But this guy is sort of slow the way he presents. And he also figures he has to say certain things, and he just says them at the drop of a hat. For instance, Tim Scott had been seen as somebody who is strong in Ukraine, strong about standing up to the Russians. And at the beginning of his remarks last night, he said that Ukraine is fighting magnificently and they are bleeding the Russian military, and that's great for us. But then when he was really pressed, are you going to send aid to them to keep doing it? He basically threw in the towel and said, well, not really. I'm going to send my aid to the southern border. Send my aid to the southern border. Here's what I think is going on. Trump held a rally at Hialeah, which is apparently very close to the venue, about 10 or 11 miles from this debate venue. And we'll talk about that in a second. But as usual, he had nothing but insults for everybody. But the people in that crowd and the people who are Trump supporters are not going to be persuaded by Nikki Haley to abandon Trump. They're not going to be persuaded by Vivek Ramaswamy to abandon Trump. They're not going to be persuaded by Ron DeSantis to abandon Trump. And they're not going to be convinced by Tim Scott to do it. And they certainly aren't going to be convinced by Chris Christie. I mean, the thing is, of all of the people on that stage, if the worst happened and one of them had to be president, it would have to be Chris Christie or Nikki Haley. The rest of them are dangerous. They're absolutely dangerous. But on the other hand, Chris Christie and Nikki Haley would not be good presidents. A lot of their issues are issues that are squarely opposed to everything I believe in and that the Democratic Party believes in and that Joe Biden believes in. And I think it's time. Remember, Joe Biden is going to be our nominee. He's one of the great presidents in my lifetime. The challenges that he's facing with a nuclear-armed Russia, China, with Iran trying to get nuclear weapons, a nuclear-armed North Korea, Pakistan, he's behaving magnificently. He's leading magnificently. He's confronted with a Congress that he doesn't really control. He doesn't control the House, and he barely controls the Senate, and that's only if Joe Manchin sent him a play ball, and Joe Manchin is sniffing around claiming he's thinking of running third party as a no-labels candidate. Pathetic, pathetic individual. But having said that, Joe Biden managed to push through that divided Congress just by his negotiating skill and the warmth with which most people in Congress, including Republicans, hold him to push through hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure. The CHIPS bill, a debt limit resolution till after the 2024 election, and a deal with Kevin McCarthy that would fund our government up to the next election, through the next election. And the only haircut would have been inflation. It wouldn't have been increased for inflation. Now we have a real problem. Mike Johnson is the speaker. Mike Johnson is the speaker because Kevin McCarthy is an idiot. Kevin McCarthy entered those deals with Biden. And when he ran, when he was the chair was said to be vacant on that one vote deal by Matt Gaetz. He got, what did he get? 208 or 9 votes, Republican votes. All he needed was another 8 or so, maybe 8 or 9 votes. A lot of Democrats were planning or thinking of voting for him, only to keep him in there and not Jim Jordan or some absolute idiot like this Mike Johnson. What does the guy do? That weekend before the vote, he goes on TV, all the networks, and then he blasts the Democrats, says the Democrats' fault and all that, trying to what? Convince Matt Gaetz and that kind of people that they should vote for him after all. It was very, very stupid. What happened was a lot of Democrats got very offended, and he got no Democratic votes because they wondered, hey, can we trust this guy? Is he flipping over? What the heck's going on? What the heck is going on? Okay, coming up, the Trump rally, a sad, very pathetic thing, and some of the things that you won't believe were said at the Trump rally.
Gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, you want to see something pathetic, Trump rally, except you're not going to see it because the networks anyway, the major ones, don't cover him. He takes too much oxygen out of the air. But some of the things that he said, they reinforce everything I believe about him being early onset dementia. Here's what he goes. Hialeah was something like 10 or 11 miles away from the venue. He thought that was funny. And this is just a sample of the lowlights, the sample. Quote from Trump. Republican judges screwed him in his court cases. And I'm looking at this, the exact language. Quote, Republican judges screwed me in my court cases. Which ones? The six tarantulas? Who wouldn't overturn the election after 60 lower court judges said that the arguments were frivolous? There were a lot of judges that came right out of the Federalist Society that didn't buy his lies. Now he's against the Federalist Society. Now he wants people on the criminal fringe, like this Jeffrey Clark, to make him the attorney general. There won't be any more Mattises or Kellys or anybody like that in a cabinet if this guy ever got in. This is a full-blown frontal fascist assault on our government. It doesn't even have vestiges of a traditional or any Republican Party. Here's what else he said. Nancy Pelosi is nuts. Chris Christie is dumb. And Joe Biden and the Democratic colleagues of Joe Biden are cheating dogs. Cheating dogs. Because they claim that they had won the election in 2020. Well, yes, they did. And they managed to go to the White House and get the keys. And they managed to live in the White House. And Joe Biden has managed to issue executive orders. He's managed to appoint ambassadors. He's managed to appoint judges. Quite a guy, if he's a cheating dog. Nobody apparently resisted him. Why didn't they resist him, crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump? Why didn't they resist him? Because he beat you by 7 million popular votes and by something like, I don't know, 60 or more electoral votes. That's why. That's why. It's one of these things where the whole army's out of step. I'm not out of step. Guy's walking in a military drill and everybody is doing it right. And he's a step. Well, they're out of, you know, this guy, I get angry thinking about it. Then he goes on, he condemns all news stations and all Republicans. They're all rhinos. Yet he is going to come to Milwaukee, unfortunately, next July and claim that he's the nominee of this party that he hates and that he attacks the United States, he attacks the Democratic Party. They're all rhinos except him. So what is he, a hippopotamus? I mean, what do you mean they're all rhinos except him? I don't think they're any good. I wouldn't vote for him. What party is he running at? We go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. It would be nice if Joe Biden was a 50-year-old, but he's not. But the bottom line is he will be the Democratic nominee. And if Trump gets the Republican nomination, Joe Biden will beat him because we cannot have a guy like Trump back in the White House again. And I think the American people recognize that. Although the current Speaker of the House is going to do everything in his power to try to make Biden look bad. But after getting through the debate last night, I guess I'm a political junkie to watch that. I will say this. Nikki Haley and Chris Christie, in my mind, because they're not, I don't think they're totally insane, would give Joe Biden his toughest run for the money. Trump will not. So that's just my take on today, and I will definitely be riding with Biden. Thanks, Matt.
No, that's excellent, as always, Paul. Right. I was impressed that they both stood up for Israel and Ukraine. Those are two issues that mean a great deal to me. We have to absolutely back them, fund them. One of them's fighting these genocidal, sadistic Russians. The other one's fighting the genocidal, sadistic Islamic State. It's incomprehensible to me how the Republicans won't stand up. But they did, but they're not going to be nominated. And if they were, Biden beat them too. Biden is a terrific president. And we're going to go back to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. Jean, what's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you. Great show and great callers. Love your callers. And you, of course. Anyway, I'm really glad Joe's the age that he is, because, and the experience that he's had, because he's been in office, knows the ins and outs, been through all of these fights in the past, you know, for women's rights, you know, for military, for, he's did it all. I mean, it will come naturally for him. A lot of people, even in their 50s, have not gone through and seen the things that Joe Biden has seen. And Joe Biden cares about everybody in our country. And he cares about the military, he cares about the veterans, he cares about unions. I mean, I remember when my dad had to go on strike all the time, and we'd be in our pajamas and go and pick him up after strike duty and doing all kinds of odd jobs just to pay the bills. And Biden stands with the workers, and Biden can't be bought. And the thing that really drives me bananas, Matt, is listening to these cockamamie, they shouldn't be in office anyway, the people that are trying to destroy our country, and they are, because they don't care about anybody but themselves, and that is going after Biden's son and his brother. I mean, how idiotic is this? And you know what really breaks my heart? Biden's there for all the people who have lost family members and loved ones because they're shocked because we have to protect the right to own a gun in our country. I mean, and he lost his son, you know, to cancer and went through HE2 toothpick, and, you know, and his son went through things too, losing his brother, and he had a rough time, and they don't give up. And yet our president don't, you know, interfere with that stuff, and he keeps working for us. I love the man. I really do. We should all have a father or grandfather, and we can have a grandfather, I don't care, that cares about every single United States person. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That's a beautiful call. You know, and you keep reinforcing something I sometimes forget myself is experience and wisdom count. They really do. If you need a complicated surgery, you want a surgeon who's done 3,000 of them. You don't know. You don't want a surgeon who's done three of them. You want one who's done 3,000. Joe Biden has been doing this since 1972. He knows all these world leaders. He knew their fathers. He's been to all these countries. He has the judgment, the experience, the decency, and the integrity. He's looking out for the interests of the United States. Donald Trump is not looking out for the interests of the United States. He's looking out for his own interests, and he's looking out for the interests of people that he's submissive to, like Vladimir Putin. It's a no-brainer to me. Okay, I see you on the lines right now. What else is going on? It's going to be news, weather, and a lot more good stuff. And do not hang up. I will get back to the lines.
Heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Enrollment is up at the Universities of Wisconsin for the first time since 2014. There are 1,700 more students enrolled than last year. There are now a little more than 162,000 students enrolled at state universities throughout Wisconsin. 10 of 13 four-year schools are seeing increases, but enrollment at two-year branch campuses is down again. Most voters in Wisconsin say they don't want new legislative maps before next year's election. That's according to the latest Marquette University Law School poll. 51% tell the survey the state should keep the current maps until after the next U.S. Census. Democrats and Republicans have proposed drawing new legislative maps. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to take up a lawsuit to change the maps before the 2024 vote. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth voters passed one of two school referendums on Election Day this year. Residents voted yes to authorize the school district to refinance existing debt to make $2.6 million available to support academic and mental health positions and expand class options in the high school. The referendum that failed to pass would have authorized a capital projects levy to pay for devices, learning technology, cybersecurity improvements, and the hiring of technology staff. The Wisconsin State Assembly is poised to approve a $2 billion income tax cut today. The measure would cut taxes from 5.3% to 4.4% for individual income between about $27,000 and $304,000, and for married couples between about $18,000 and $405,000. Governor Tony Evers is expected to veto the tax cut as he seeks to use the state's historic budget surplus to address workforce and child care issues plaguing the state. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Bucks get the win, but Giannis ejected. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Detroit Pistons 120-118. In the third quarter, Giannis brought the ball down, made a signature dunk, and celebration. He gets called for a technical, his second of the game, and was ejected. The Bucks' Brooke Lopez asked what was going on.
You know, we felt there were a lot of questionable calls, but you got to fight through that. And the way Giannis got kicked out, we obviously don't think that was great. But whatever, we turned it into a positive. Sucked not to have him out there, but it was a great opportunity for us to play pretty much solely with Dame, get him more used to us, get more used to him and a lot of other guys.
Football, a lot of teams in the NFL now doing the tush push, lining up players to push a teammate across fourth and short for a quarterback sneak. Green Bay tried it over the weekend again. The Rams and was asked, was it called the Packers push? Right guard John Runyon.
I've also heard the love shove too.
That's the Packers right guard John Runyon with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. 46 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, west winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. 29 tonight, chance for scattered showers. Cloudy tomorrow, 39. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 46.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station, UK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Professor. My fellow student today, Jean, had wonderful points about Joe Biden, and I agree with everything she said and you said about Biden. I have to pick at your legal mind today, wondering what the Biden should do if brought before, well, they're going to be subpoenaed to Congress to testify. And my thoughts are they show up. They show up. And when Jim Jordan dares to ask that, you, I will not answer to you. You are a fascist. You wouldn't do what I'm doing. I will not. Not you. But for the rest of them, just ignore it. Hello. Hi. Hope you have a nice day. But I wouldn't answer any of their questions. Are they legally bound to answer any questions? I guess I understand they're legally bound to respond to a subpoena, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, well,
Matt.
Sure. Let's parse that out legally. Once they're subpoenaed by Congress, they have to respond. They can move to quash. But, you know, Steve Bannon just blew it off and he's criminally convicted for doing that. So you can't not show up. Number two, you can take the Fifth. A lot of them have done that. And then that's fine. But it looks like hell. It's the president's son, the president's brother. Number three, they'll have good counsel. And the one good thing about Congress, it's a bad thing about Congress, but it's good for a witness. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to ask questions. They're not trained lawyers. If they were smart, they would have one or two congressmen who were former prosecutors, but they all want to stick their two cents in, and they ask compound questions, and they ask a number of questions, and you can tie them up. But they're going to ask about Ukraine, and the truth is that Hunter Biden got a fee. It was not a bribe, and he's got a director fee of some sort. This is all known. So I think they can get up there and just tell the truth about what they know. But I would not fail to show up. I think that would be dangerous. When they do show up, they can't just say, I'm not going to answer that question. Then there'll be a motion to compel. It'll be granted and they'll have to answer it. And I would say just get good preparation and advice on how to handle these people because they're in bad faith. And they're only doing this to try to screw up Joe Biden. Thanks a lot for calling. David of San Francisco, my friend. Thanks for calling. David, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, well, not too bad, Matt. Yeah, I didn't catch an ounce of the Republican debate. Did they say anything about the social contract?
In what context, David? What do you mean by social contract, as you put the question?
Well, if you remember, the social contract, that was like friggin' 1,000 years ago, the Magna Carta. And that
they did not mention the Magna Carta. I know. And there's also
that we the people can buy ourselves something nice, right? That we the people chip in our taxes and we're supposed to get something back for them. And when the king goes off and has a party with it, that's not the social contract, that he's not fixing roads, he's not fixing bridges, he's not taking care of the structure of our needs. That's the social contract. It's not something.
I love your call, but here's the deal. I love your call, but they obviously didn't mention the Magna Carta, and they also didn't mention Rousseau's work in the 18th century either. And the truth of the matter is that you're talking about the very, very deep and absolutely accurate background of all this. But, it wasn't a philosophy lesson. It wasn't a political philosophy lesson. So I know what you're talking about and I enjoy it. But what they don't take this and they don't take responsibility for anything. They don't take responsibility for anything. All they want is chaos and fraud. The only saving grace was that Christie and Haley did stand up for Israel and Ukraine. That was about it. The rest of it was all lowlights. Going back to the lines, Diallo Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Diallo. What's your mind today?
Yeah, I met just the question as a friend of yours. When Trump's tactics is he says things and people go out and attack people because it's like a dog whistle. And perception is everything. I know patients are high. When you talk and you say the jihadi culture, people hear all the Muslims around here. So I just want to make sure you separate the two. I don't know how you do it, but if you keep saying the jihadist culture, ill-intended people hear Muslims, then they go out and attack. I just wanted to, you know, let you know that as a friend. That's, I know you don't mean that, but that's the perspective. That's what we hear on the radio, and that's what Trump is good at. He said, this judge did this to me, that to me, he's a bad person, this, that, and the other. Then they get attacked. I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, right. No, I appreciate it. But there's nobody that attacks Trump more than I do, as you know, number one. And number two, there are plenty of Muslim people, very good people, who do not believe in jihad. So there are some who do, and they include the Islamic State and Hamas and ISIS and so on. So I think that's a good distinction, and thank you. Okay, let's talk right now. We're going to talk right now about Trump's trial. And what is the status of it? What's the status of it in New York? Trump put in an abusive witness list with 127 witnesses. It was a fake, and it was designed to clog things down. And it was also designed to try to confuse Letitia James, and she's not going to be confused. They also brought a motion for a directed verdict saying, okay, the state has its evidence, and now it's not good enough. And let me alert you to one thing that may crop up. It may crop up as an issue. When you think about it, Trump lied about his net worth. Deutsche Bank said that they wanted a $3 billion net worth. He didn't have it. Ivanka Trump negotiated down to $2.5 billion, and that was still fraudulent. But he repaid the loans. So the question is, his defense is no harm, no foul. In other words, yes, I lied about my net worth. They wouldn't have given me the loan otherwise, and I got a much lower interest rate than I would have, but I repaid it. And Judge Erdogan in court today asked Letitia James and asked all the lawyers, did anybody say, any witness say, that I would not, this is say a Deutsche Bank or any company, I would not have given him that loan if I had known this. And I think the answer is there is nothing in the record because Letitia James has no obligation to ask them and Trump didn't subpoena him. He can still subpoena him. He can subpoena him right now. So it is possible Trump made about $160 million, $160 million in fraudulent lower interest rates, but he did pay the loans. So the question is, should he repay? Remember, this is a civil case, not a criminal case. Should he repay the $160 million for having lied, and then something on top of it for having lied about his net worth, and also lying about the value of various properties? There are other reasons to hold him liable, but that is an issue. Keep that in the back of your mind. But what he's done with the 127 witnesses, let me tell you how a jury trial works. The way a jury trial works is you put in witness lists, and you usually put in everything but the kitchen sink. And then when it comes time to call your witnesses, the judge says, okay, let's get real here. Let's get real here. How many do you want? Well, by putting 127 witnesses, not only doesn't he need them, but many of them are redundant. They'll have three people that will talk about how the figures were put on his financial statements. It only takes one person, if that. He should only call max 10 witnesses, 8 witnesses, but he's trying to delay this thing and basically kick it out. What's going to happen about that? Erdogan, in my view, will deny his motion for a directed verdict or a dismissal based on a mistrial. He'll deny his motion. But at the same time, he's going to be scrutinizing what kind of proof Trump puts in. If Trump puts in anybody from Deutsche Bank that says, okay, he lied about his net worth, but we're satisfied that he repaid the loan, in my judgment, legally, Trump is still liable, but it obviously puts some pressure on this judge on what to do. So stay tuned. My prediction is Trump's not going to get to call 127 witnesses. Trump is not going to get out of the case right now, but there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. We'll see what happens. I want to get back briefly. We talked yesterday about New Jersey and how we had a clean sweep, and we did. But I don't know if you know how absurd the Republican campaigns were. You know, we held all the seats we had before. We picked up a few extra in the assembly. There was not only was there not a red wave, but the Republicans just went down big time. But why did they go down big time? Here are some of the issues, and you're not going to believe this. I didn't believe it. The lame issues that they raised. One of the big deals in New Jersey, believe it or not, are offshore wind farms, offshore wind development. What does that mean? It means mounting windmills, basically, out in the shallow water. So, you know, you're not hogging up land in New Jersey because land is at a premium and all that. So offshore wind development was a big deal. It was pushed by Governor Murphy. Then I think it was a Danish or a Scandinavian manufacturer who had to say, well, we're not going to be able to do it. And so that was a black eye. And then Murphy said, okay, we can get somebody else. No big deal. But here is what the Republicans did. They attack wind farms in general, wind development, because they said, I'm not kidding, quote, it causes dead whales. It kills whales. Now, wait a minute. There are plenty of people who have said that wind farms, you have to be careful, it kills birds. Plenty of them. But nobody says it kills whales. Why would it kill whales? No scientists, no zoologists, nobody. There's no scientific basis for that. There's plenty of things out there. There are lighthouses, there are reefs. Whales can figure it out. They can get around them. They don't go through the windmills. These idiots said, well, offshore wind development kills whales. Secondly, they accused the Democrats and therefore their opponents in New Jersey of wanting a gas stove ban. Now, you've heard this before. I've never really understood that. I have a gas stove. It's not going to be banned. It shouldn't be banned. Gas stoves should not be banned. Obviously, there are alternative forms of cooking, and they may take precedence, but there's no immediate ban on anything. And nobody believed it. And then finally, these clowns in the Republican Party said, well, the Democrats are for clean energy. Well, clean energy is expensive, and it's going to mean rising energy costs. The truth is that every study shows that clean energy will reduce energy costs as well as pollution. Why they in New Jersey, of all places, this is an urban state. It really is an urban state. And it's not just genuflecting blue state. It has elected Republican governors. It has elected Republican congressmen. And so why do you take your stand on energy in New Jersey? Are you crazy? And especially crazy things like whales can die and it's a gas stove ban. I can't remember a weaker campaign. I can't remember a weaker set of arguments than what I just described. And that to me is one reason why these clowns didn't win, besides the fact that their other policies are bad, their candidates are bad, and they're bad. So that was another reason. But they could have at least put on a more skillful campaign than dead whales and gas stove bans in New Jersey. Okay, what's coming up? I'll tell you, some very, very good stuff is coming up. Coming up right now is going to be, defunding Kamala Harris? How about the Mississippi elections?
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give him his gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt, the director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go into the lines. Bob Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, I think there's some interesting clues to the Republican mindset. You know, why are all these people willing to give it all to the billionaires? Well, they admire them and they hope they're going to be one of them one day. There's a poll out that shows that 13% believe that they will be in the top 1%, and another 25% aspire to be in the top 1%. Well, that's 37 out of 38% that's diluted, right? I mean, it's not, there isn't room. There's only 1% is the only room there. So it doesn't make any sense, but that's what drives all these people to not look at their own good, but look at the billionaire's good. And let's go that way. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. Psychologically, and especially when it comes to taxes, Bob, and here's an odd thing about human nature. You know, when somebody puts in a tax cut, let's say they put in a tax cut, and there's plenty of studies that have backed this up, and they'll say, for instance, the estate tax. Let's say the estate tax will be cut in half, and everybody likes that, even though they have absolutely no prospect of ever having to pay an estate tax because their estates would be too small. But even if you're 98 years old, 100 years old, and a candidate says, I'm going to cut your taxes 3 years from now, everybody assumes they'll be alive 3 years from now. Nobody goes, well, that's not going to benefit me. Nobody goes, it's not going to benefit me. In fact, here's another odd little factoid. Every year you live, your life expectancy goes up. Every month you live, your life expectancy goes up because you've lived that much longer and you still have an expectancy to live longer than that. You still have that expectancy. So a lot of these people, they say, okay, we'll cut taxes for the 1%. And people who are anywhere in the middle class don't know what that means. And yeah, there are guys making $1 million a year, but you know, I'll get a little sugar out of that too. That's the way they look at it. So yeah, what can I do about human nature? There's not much I can do about human nature, but I thank you for the call, Bob, as always. I want to get, you know, we talked about New Jersey yesterday, and I just talked today about some of the crazy things the Republicans had taken into that campaign. Well, down in Mississippi, there was a candidate I like quite a bit, Brandon Presley, Elvis's shirt-tail cousin, Elvis Presley. And there was Heartbreak Hotel last night. Brandon Presley didn't make it. This Tate Reeves did. He's a Republican. Tate Reeves is, there's a sort of a whiff of scandal about his administration. You can Google Tate Reeves, but it's a very, very divided state, and it's a very, very racial state. But it just came out today, and this is something I had not known. There is a county down there called Hinds County. It's a Democratic county. The county is 70% black, and Jackson, Mississippi, one of the biggest cities in Mississippi is in Hinds County, and that's 83% black. In that election, Hinds County ran out of ballots. This sort of thing is controlled by the state. Then there are long, long lines. Officials tried to print more ballots, but the lines got even longer. And this is close to closing time. There's a statutory time in which the polls have to close. The Democrats went to court and they got a judge to try to help by extending the polling hour by 1 hour. Just 1 hour, while they were madly trying to print ballots, and the Republican Party of Mississippi fought the extension. What you see in a lot of these states, remember I talked about chaos, violence, and fraud, but in this particular case, the chaos and the fraud are frequently mechanical issues with voting in high Democratic turnout areas. Very, very long lines. For a while in Harris County in Texas in one of the recent elections, 7 or 8 hours. There's no excuse for that. There'd be too few voting machines for the population. Too few voting machines. In some cases, there'd be, say, 3 voting machines, but one of them, quote, didn't work, end quote. It didn't work. Arizona put in a law, this is about 2 elections ago, that said that every county in the state would have 1 polling place. Now, if you did that in Wisconsin, let's take Florence County up in the Northeast. Let's take Rusk County, Ladysmith. Let's take really low population counties, they'd have 1 polling place. But if that law were here, then Milwaukee would have 1 polling place, and so would Madison. If Milwaukee and Madison have 1 polling place, most of the people are not going to be able to vote. You'd have hundreds of thousands of voters converging on 1 location in a very limited period of time. Phoenix is one of the biggest absolutely one of the biggest cities in the country. And under this law, they were going to have 1 vote polling place. The Democrats went to court and they got it tossed out. But remember something. All of this goes back to the Voting Rights Act about 15 years ago when the Shelby County, that case, that was the one where Clarence Thomas was the deciding vote, gutted it. In the old days, if you tried to do that, from the mid-60s up until 15 years ago, you would have had to have run it by the Justice Department. No Justice Department, either in a Republican administration or a Democratic administration, would have stood still for that. There is a law in effect right now in Texas that Harris County, Houston, the biggest county in the state, the only one that's subject to this law, the Secretary of State thinks that there was corruption in the election. He can throw out the results and order a new election. That hasn't been overturned yet by a court. This is very serious stuff. And down in Mississippi, that's what happened in Hinds County. I don't know if there's enough votes to make a difference, but there are a lot of people in that line, I'll tell you that, that didn't get to vote. Well, coming up, news, weather, and a lot more.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Do you wish you knew someone who could help develop your palate and passion for diverse, healthy teas from all around the world? Cultivate Tasting Green Bay is owned by a certified tea specialist, and Jennifer is known for hosting a series of professional tea tastings, unique and upscale, but inviting and open to all. Learn more about Cultivate Taste at CultivateTaste.com or call 920-770-7163. 920-770-7163. Cultivate your taste at Cultivate Taste Green Bay.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Do you wish?